Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Huimin. Can you hear me at the back? It's okay? Okay, that's good. Well, today we turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And let's read Hebrews chapter 13 together for this afternoon. Let's turn to it. Well, thank you, Huimin, and thank you, Rachel, for the thoughts shared on anniversary. And next week is our anniversary. Well, you know, the text that we'll be reading for this afternoon can actually help us to understand what it means for us to be like a church. Let's go to God in prayer first, even as we begin. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for your wonderful blessings poured out onto us. We just thank you for being the loving God that you are, that as weak, as sinful as we are, that you will still bless us, that you will still give your glory to us. We pray very much that we do not take this for granted and seek very much to really understand you so much more and seek to understand your word now, even as we read it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, we turn to Hebrews 13. And Hebrews 13 is a new chapter. We ended Hebrews 12 last week. And so, as we read Hebrews 1 all the way until where we are right now, many, many doctrines have been laid out. And we've been studying it for some time, and I hope that we've learned much. I hope so. And in particular, when we read Hebrews 11 and 12, we recall that we are meant to have faith. Faith is most important to possess. We are to run with faith. At the same time, we do this because we've come to a wonderful heavenly kingdom. No, but you ask yourselves, and we ask ourselves, is this the end? And the answer is no, of course not. Because this afternoon, we begin reading a new chapter that tells us and teaches us how we ought to practice our faith. See, we have learned much, and now the key thing that we need to do is to practice our faith. And, you know, how do we know that we've actually really understood something? It is when we practice it in our lives. It is when this understanding of ours moves us to act. And in this sense, and in this case, it is to practice what we have learned. So, as we understand our faith, it ought to move us to really practice it. You see, our faith and our practice of faith, our understanding of faith and our practice of faith, they are the same thing. They must be one. I cannot just understand faith and not practice it. They must come together. So, this understanding of the word of God that is preached and the practice of it into my life, they cannot be separate. They must be one. It cannot mean that I understand the word of God well, I read the word of God well, but then I don't practice it. It does not make sense. So it cannot be also that, you know, I'm a student pastor, right, in church on one day, and then I go out, I become a party band. No, I can't, right? It doesn't work that way. It has to be the same. What I understand from the word of God and what I practice in my life has to be the same. And that's what we all must learn. And that's what Hebrews 13, even as we begin to read it, this is what it's all about, teaching us how we ought to practice our faith. Now, how is faith meant to be practiced? One, it is in our personal life. Two, it's also in our public life. Public life meaning how we relate to people. You see, as we take a look, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, it's really about relating to people. It's, you know, let brotherly love continue, verse 1. Verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. Verse 3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. You see, it's all about, in these three verses here, it's about how we relate to people. And this is how our faith must be practiced as well. Practice with regards to self, also practice with regards to how we relate to people. So our faith must cause us to relate to others as well. And sometimes we get the misconceptions about faith. You know, we think that we are filled with a lot of faith. And when we read the Word of God, when we read the Scriptures, but then just don't ask me to relate to anybody else because I cannot stand people. It's like what it says in the Peanuts comic, what they wrote for Linus, right? I mean, he says, I love mankind, but it's people that I cannot stand. You know, it does not work that way. In the same way, our faith is not meant to be like this. Our faith, as we understand it personally, it's also meant to affect how we live. And a big part of life, it's how we relate to people. And this is what we must learn and understand. Faith, personal, but faith also regards to other people. How do you regard other people? And how do you relate to people? Do you know that as you relate to people, and as we understand the way we relate to people, it actually shows us how much we really understand our faith? That is a key indicator. Do you know that? And so faith is meant to affect our lives inside and out. You know, as we read Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 3, it also, you know, we just read it and you know, it says that let brotherly love continue, do not forget to entertain strangers. You know, these words are actually very specific. Do you realize? These are specific words of instruction. And sometimes you read it and you question, you know, why is it so specific? You see, the problem is that many of us face the problem of forgetting. We forget things. And that's why we need something specific, words of reminder to tell us, right? This is something that you must take note of. Don't forget these things. Sometimes we also neglect. We are also ignorant. And that's why it's specific words are mentioned, so that we do not be ignorant, so that these things are highlighted to us. We do not neglect at the same time. So that as these specific words are mentioned, these words are meant to be emphasized very much. And so this is how we should read Hebrews 13, verse 1 to 3. You know, these things are meant to remind us. These things are meant to highlight to us what we ought to take note of. These things are meant to emphasize to us the things that we ought to practice. And so let's begin. Let's take a look what it means to really practice faith in regards to relating to other people. So the first thing is this thing called brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue in verse 1. And brotherly love, if you take a look at it, it is boiled down to this one word, Philadelphia. It is basically Philadelphia, right? The state in the US is what we call it. It's basically Philos and Adelphos, which is love and brother. So what it really means is that it contains this idea of expressing love to one another, like a family. You know, how do we relate to people? You know, we ought to relate to each other with brotherly love. Love like a family. Can you imagine that? That's actually something that it's really heartwarming. And this was actually taught by the Lord Jesus. You know, if you recall, I can read it for you. In John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And as I have loved you, you also love one another. See, this is what the Lord Jesus taught all of us to be, taught his disciples to be. And this is what we must practice, brotherly love that is there. So how should we relate to each other? We should relate to each other with love. What is the standard of love then? The standard of love is none other than the love that the Lord Jesus himself gave. A new commandment I give to you, as I have loved you, you also love one another. You know what's, I was just thinking about the love of the Lord Jesus. And what really stands out about the love of the Lord Jesus is that he loved with truth. And that's the thing that stands out to me. He did not love blindly. You know, he did not love and say, okay, you know, I'm just going to love just every single person, or you know, despite all your wrongdoings, you know, even you still stay the same way, I'm still going to love you. No. What he did was when he loved the disciples, every time they had problems, they had troubles, he addressed these issues. He addressed them, he sought to help them get out of these problems that is there. And he loved them with truth. He didn't hide from the truth. He pointed them back always to the truth. See, the problem with us is that sometimes we think about love and we say that, oh, we just love and love everything and everyone. But the problem is we can love blindly. You know, we accept all sorts of different things. Even if it's wrong ways, we still, oh, you know what? It doesn't matter. We just need to have love. But that is not the truth. That is not true love. Love must be done in truth, just like what the Lord Jesus did. Everything, every time there was sin, he addressed the sin problems. He did not shirk from it. And he still loved the disciples so much so that he wanted to help them get out of this problem of sin. You see, love is not meant to be, oh, I just feel like I can love anybody I just love. And you, even if you consist and persist in the wrong ways, I'm still going to love you. You know, it doesn't matter. We don't have to talk about the wrong that you have. Is we can just, you know, push it to one side. That's not the case. Love is never meant to be like this. And so when we love with brotherly love, what are we really seeking to do? We are seeking to help each other, point each other back to the truth, always. Because that is love. Not blind love that is there. You know, the Lord Jesus really loved the disciples, but he loved them in truth. He addressed all the problems that were there, the struggles that they faced, he helped them through it. You know, they made mistakes and they stumbled, but he always pointed them back to what they were meant to be, to how they were meant to live. And he did it with a deep heart of love. He loved them to the very end. You know, that's the beauty of the Lord Jesus' love. And this is the love that we are meant to hold. This is the love that we are meant to abide in. This is the love that we are meant to have for each other. Love, not just blind love. Love in truth, but love that is truly deep, truly profound. Love like the love of the Lord Jesus. You know, brotherly love, this is love. And you know, this is how we ought to relate to one another. And this is what we also seek to do at YPG. We learn to love each other in truth. We learn to care for each other, but we also learn to point each other always back to the scriptures. Point each other always back to the truth. So young people, you know, you tell us your problems. You tell us the difficulties that you face. And, you know, what do we say? We cannot but help tell you that, you know, sometimes you may have gone in erroneous ways. But this is done out of love. Because this is love in truth. It's not going to say, you know what, it's fine. Don't worry about it. No, sometimes there are sin problems that have to be addressed. But we still love. Because this is loving in truth. Still seeking to love to help you out of whatever it is that is there. Loving in truth. This is so wonderful. You know, we also, as we think about brotherly love, we also can express brotherly love through physical means. And this is seen in the example of the Jerusalem church. In Acts chapter 2, right? I'll just state it for you as well. What they had was that they were together. They had many things in common. They sold all their possessions and their goods, and they divided them as anyone had need. You know, they really cared for each other. They showed love for each other through physical ways, through physical means. And, you know, they just really dare for each other. You know, my heart is encouraged when I see some of these aspects in Bethany, where we can learn to care for each other, and we can learn to be there for one another. So a week ago, the father of Uncle Jacob, he passed away. So, and this is Mr. Chaco. This is the grandfather of John and Rachel. So the vigil was held in the house in the Seletar Hills, which is actually two lanes from where I live. And many people from Bethany came to just to be there for the family, to be there with the family. It was very crowded. So crowded because it was just a narrow lane, a narrow road where the house was, and there was a massive jam. So many cars were trying to get in, many cars were trying to park, but it was hard to do so because it was just so many people. So many people came to give their support. Many people from Bethany came. You know, some of the older uncles went out to try to direct traffic, right? You know, if they tried to stop people from coming, turning to their lane, so they'd go to other lanes instead to park. If not, it'd be a massive jam. It was so crowded that even the priest, when he came, supposed to conduct the service, he couldn't find a parking lot, and we had to help him find a parking lot. So Ben and I, because we were quite familiar with the place, we went to go and help, right? To direct the traffic as they came in. And so people come in and then we say, oh, are you here for the vigil? If not, if you are, you can't park here. So we ask them, wind down the windows. And sometimes, once in a while, we ask them, are you here for the vigil service? If not, there's no space. And then the guy will reply, okay, but I just need to get to my house, which is further down the road. Quite embarrassing, but we say, oh, please, go ahead. On your way, please. You know, it was quite a, you know, I it was quite an interesting memory, because as I remember it, you know, it was because the house, there were many people, and many people couldn't fit inside the house, so people had to stand outside, and it was quite dark outside. It was a bit hot. People had to stand up. There was no seats, but people still stayed. Why? Because they just wanted to be there for the family. They wanted to be there with the family. They wanted to be there, you know, just finish the service so that they can, at the end of the service, go to the family and just to greet them, to offer their condolences, and to just really this idea of caring through physical means. You know, this is the idea of how we can care for each other. You know, brotherly love that is there, caring for each other, being there for each other. And so as we think about the anniversary as well, you know, we have celebrated 43 years as a church. You know, we have seen many good examples laid before us, many good examples of how people can come together to support each other in their time of need, many people to come together to be there like a family, to be there to show brotherly love. And what is our response even as we think about the anniversary? It's that we as a younger generation, we must continue, isn't it? We must continue in this brotherly love that has been set before us already. We must continue in this wonderful example of how we as a family can be like a church. We as a family, as we practice our faith, as we seek to show each other brotherly love, this is how it's expressed. Being there for each other, even in times of need. Loving each other in truth, pointing each other always back to the truth of God's word. This is how we ought to love one another. Showing brotherly love. This is one expression of our faith. You know, the next part that we read here in Hebrews 13, verse 1, is let brotherly love continue. You know, what is this word continue? It's written there for you, meno. It essentially means to remain. And what does it really mean to remain then? Remaining cannot be just for a moment or for the next few moments. There has to be remaining continually. And not just done one time and you know, then I'll do it like maybe years down the road, I'll do it another time. No, it's continually and consistently. This is what it means to remain. And this is what brotherly love must be like. To continue, to be consistent, and to be continual throughout each and every part. Let brotherly love remain in brotherly love. You know, why do you think that the author wrote this idea of remaining that is there? It's simply because of this. Many things can threaten to hurt the bonds within us. And that's why it's a call for the Hebrews writer to say, let brotherly love continue. Because if you don't watch out for these things, many things can come in to hurt the bonds that we have within us. Brotherly love can be easily lost. Many things can threaten to hurt these bonds that we have. Things from the outside. Things from the inside as well. Our own selves, we can cause hurt to the bond in the church. Do you remember this part of this idea of bitterness that is in the heart? No, bitterness can be there. And if you don't watch out for this own bitterness in your heart, the weaknesses that are there in yourself, you can be the one to threaten the bond within the church. Did you know that? And that is scary if you think about it. Brotherly love can be easily lost. You know, brotherly love is not easy to cultivate. It takes years, 43 years to come to where we are. But it still does not mean this is the end. It can be easily lost. And that's why let brotherly love continue. It must continue. It must remain continually, consistently. This must be our prayer. This must be what we look out for as well. From things on the outside, watch out, protect the church. Things on the inside, watch out for ourselves. We can be the ones to hurt the bond that is there. No, these are the things that we must watch out for. Let brotherly love continue. You know, we go on. And we also seek to read the next verse. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now this is an interesting verse. What does it mean to do not forget to entertain strangers. Does it mean that I just go to the MRT, I see a random person, then I ha-ha, hee-hee, and then, aha, I have not forgotten to entertain strangers. No, right? That is not the case. You can't do that. What does it really mean to entertain strangers? And it's interesting. You know, this word, entertain strangers, is this taken from Philoxenia. It's this idea of love for strangers. And some practical expressions of this love that can be found is, you know, being hospitable, showing generosity, and expressing care and concern. But then we ask ourselves, now this is interesting, what exactly does it mean, strangers? Right? What constitutes strangers? Is it just any random person in a coffee shop, at the MRT, at your wherever you are? And the answer is no. It's not this idea of strangers, it's not total strangers. It's just that these people are not from our midst. And they're actually fellow believers and saints. And these people, the fact that they are strangers, they have some need to be met. Perhaps one thing that can help us to understand this better is we need to turn to 3 John. Verse 5. So 3 John 5. So 3 John is a book. 3 John is a book by itself. So it's just 3 John 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not that. I mean, they are like, not that. There are 14 chapters there, but there are 14 verses. So we turn to 3 John 5. And this perhaps can help us understand a little bit more of what is it, this idea of strangers that is there. You know, it says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." This is a person that John was writing to, this person called Gaius. Verse 6, "Who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well." So what was Gaius doing here in this context? It's basically, people came to him, people who are missionaries, people who were preaching the word of God, and he sent them on their way. He sent missionaries on their journey in a manner worthy of God. He took care of them, provided for them, and then sent them away. And he did this faithfully. This is actually really special. Because if you think about it, what Gaius did was that as people came and people visited him, and then they went away again, he did not expect anything to be repaid in that sense. Right? Because these were people who were traveling. I visit you, and then after I'm leaving. I may or may not meet you again. But Gaius still provided for these people. He still was hospitable. He still showed love, care, and concern for these people. Now, how do I understand this? This is a bit... I was trying to think, what exactly is this idea of showing hospitality to people or showing love for the stranger? And I realized that in some ways, love was shown to me as a stranger, in a sense. Well, in 2013, we were celebrating Bethany's anniversary, and you know, I was very moved by the anniversary. I wanted to see, you know, how Bethany celebrates his other anniversaries as well. So I went over to Perth in 2013. So after Perth's anniversary in September, so we celebrated the August one here, and then I went over to September, and I was a student then, so, and I traveled alone. So Pastor Chris was very nice. See, I was not from their midst, right? I mean, I'm in Singapore, they're in Perth. I was not from their midst, but he said, you know what, just come on in. I'll open one of the parsonages for you. You can sleep in the parsonages, in Bethel itself. You don't have to spend money to go find a hotel or whatever it is. And you know, just stay with us. Don't worry about it, right? So I came, and I was alone. Because I was alone, what he did was that he went to call some other people from the Bethel Church, some other guys, to stay with me, right? So yeah, I mean, we had our own camp there, and yeah, I felt a bit spoiled, right? I mean, they were so nice that some people would come and stay with me, right? And so two people came to stay with me actually, and Enoch, the big one, right? He was down there like. providing me physical protection or whatever it is. But it was nice. So the moment I touched down, all the way to I left back to Singapore, I was never alone. The moment I touched down, people were there waiting for me. They picked me up. They brought me to all different places throughout the whole week, attended the anniversary. And, you know, they just provided for every single aspect. Pastor Chris and Aldine will always come by and ask me if there's anything I need, if there's anything they can do more for to help make my stay more comfortable. And that was really precious, actually. I still remember it very clearly. You know, every aspect, of course, was looked after. And, you know, this was this idea of a special experience of how generosity can be extended. You see, I was not from their midst, yet I was still taken care of very wonderfully and very lovingly. Right? And they did not have to do this, but every effort was still made. You know, this is something that I'm deeply challenged to do, even as I experience this for my own self. That even as people come from all the different places, can we also be hospitable? We want to learn to be hospitable. We want to learn to care for others as much as well. You know, we read this other line back to Hebrews 13. In verse 2, for by doing, some have unwittingly entertained strangers. Some unwittingly entertained angels. What does this really mean? It really means, this is a reference to the examples in the Old Testament. Two examples were there. One is Abraham, when the three men came, and the Lord himself visited Abraham. Abraham was very hospitable, and the Lord came to give him this word that he will have a son. The next example was Lot, when he welcomed two people, two strangers in that sense, and these two were angels that actually told him and his family to get out of the city that he was in. You know, some have unwittingly entertained angels. But what does it really mean at the end of the day? It's not that you purposely go out and look for angels, right? Purposely, you know, you see a stranger coming or someone who's not from our midst and say, hey, are you an angel? You don't do that, right? I mean, the idea is that you never know who you might meet. You never know who you might be generous towards. And this is really an encouragement to tell you, you know what? Be generous. Go out. Care for strangers. Love. Show that care and concern that is there. People, even they may not form mates, people who are just visiting for a while, can we still show that sense of love? Yes. Because we've been told here, this is an expression of our faith. One, showing brotherly love. Two, showing love for strangers. And we come to the third verse. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. You know, this idea of those who are mistreated are people who have suffered for their faith. People have been persecuted and sent to prison. And how are we supposed to care for them and remember them? We remember as if we are chained with them. There's a deep sense of identification that is there. There's a deep sense of compassion. No, but in our context, we don't really have people who suffer for their faith to the extent they go to prison. But what can we learn from this? We can learn to have a heart for others. A heart of compassion that is there. We can learn to have a heart for those people who are going through a difficult time. You know, there are some in our midst who have gone through or are going through difficult situations. You know, some in our midst have been laughed at, mocked at, rejected for their faith. Some have even been scolded for their faith. And the key thing that we want to learn is that we cannot be so caught up with ourselves that we forget these things. That we only look for ourselves and look at ourselves that we forget to look at people around who might be hurting, who might be going through a very rough time. And may our hearts not be selfish or cold, but may it be hearts that be able to feel with others. And the one compelling reason has been said in that verse. Since we ourselves
are in the body also.
No, we belong to the same body of Christ. That's a wonderful imagery. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And similarly applied to Romans 12. You know, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. See, this is the same idea, that remember the prisoners as if chained with them. And so as we, you know, come to the end of verses 1 to 3, one question comes out. You know, are you part of this body of Christ that is there? You know, we are meant to be interconnected in so many wonderful ways, as one body. No, but if you are always thinking about yourself, if there's always just, you know, you don't care about anybody else, just thoughts for yourself only, the question is, are you really a part of that body? And we are not meant to be separated. We are meant to be apart, not apart, right? We're really meant to be with each other, one body that is there. And so, you know, as we conclude, we really challenge to practice our faith in these three aspects. Showing brotherly love to one another, showing love to those who may not be from our midst. You know, remembering those people and those individuals who are going through a rough and difficult time. You know, the anniversary is coming up next week. And I'm just thinking about this. How would I celebrate the anniversary this year? And as I read Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 3, you know, I'm challenged to respond as what it says in these few verses. And I thank God for the church. I thank God for how the church has been a wonderful blessing in my life. I thank God for Bethany's people, people that I can call brothers, sisters, people who have made an impact in my life. So now as I read these verses, let me be challenged to practice how I'm meant to practice my faith towards these people, how I'm meant to practice my faith in the church, showing brotherly love to each other, you know, caring for people that may come our way, and really be watchful to those who may be in need. So this sense of brotherly love, this sense of oneness may not be lost. This sense of oneness is strongly maintained, not only in the past, but in the present and in the future. And so this is my challenge. And this is all our challenge. And may you seek to practice your faith well. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for this specific word that you've given to us, for how we've meant to practice our faith towards other people, and how we're meant to relate to each other as one body. Father, we pray that you will be with us even as we seek to understand your word at a deeper level, even as we seek to practice your word into our very lives. We pray very much, Father, that this sense of oneness within Bethany will not be lost, that you stir and inspire our hearts to continue to guard it, to protect it, that it really be maintained well for the future. We just thank you for this love shown to us, that we may be able to love in the same way that you love us. We just thank you for all that you've given to us this wonderful time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's collect our offering and we can. Okay, next week, there'll be a combined fellowship meeting, 4 o'clock. In the downstairs fellowship hall. Thank you. So, once again, not 3 o'clock, but 4 o'clock. And it's the Saturday just before our anniversary, on Sunday itself.